It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In 2 Timothy chapter 3, reading verses 16 and 17, it says in verse 16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Well, some people do not believe that the Old Testament is for today, that we can't read the Old Testament, that the New Testament has done away with the Old. Well, that nothing could be further from the truth, because the Old Testament is about Jesus Christ. The New Testament is about Jesus Christ. There's nothing in the Old Testament that does away with what the New Testament says, and there's nothing in the New Testament that does away with what the Old Testament says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And today, we're going to look, in just a few moments, you'll hear me say Isaiah chapter 53. That's the Old Testament. The Old Testament testifies of Jesus Christ. He is so wonderful. He came into the world to seek and to save those who were lost. Thank God that He saved me, and I thank God that if you've trusted Him, I thank God that He saved you, and that He will save anyone who's willing to come to Him. Today we continue our study in the life of Christ. We've looked so far at the life of Christ concerning the forerunner, the baptism of Jesus, and of course, the one who baptized the Lord was John the Baptist. And then we looked at the three temptations of our Savior, and we've also looked at choosing the 12. And we looked at the question, who is Christ? Who did people say Christ was, and who do they say He is today, and who? What did Christ have to say about Himself? And then we've also looked at the miracles that Christ performed while on this earth. And if you'll remember, I made mention of the fact that Christ performed these miracles not just to be healing people and not just for going about doing good. He did this for a specific purpose, and that was to show that He was God and that He could forgive sin. Well, today we're going to look into the subject of the rejection of Christ. And of course, this has to do with Christ riding in on the donkey, and how that the people threw palm leaves and everything in front of Him, saying, "Holy, holy," and "Hosanna to the highest." And we want to look at that today and see about the rejection of Christ. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53 and verse 3, it says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not." In Mark chapter 8 and verse 31, the Bible says, "And He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and of the chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again." And then in Mark chapter 12 and verse 10, it talks about the stone. It says there, "And have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner." And of course, he was referring there to Psalm 118, verse 22, where it says, "The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner." And of course, this is speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's look just now at the rejection of the Savior. You know, people have had and do have a problem known as the pollution of the heart. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" We often criticize the people who rejected Christ during the time He walked this earth. But how long did we reject Christ before we received Him into our heart? And we need to understand that Christ had compassion on people, and we need to have the compassion that He had, and we'll never
understand or be able to have the exact compassion that Christ had on the unsaved of this world, but we can have a compassion of knowing that without Christ, people are lost and on their way to a devil's hell. And we need to uphold Christ, and we need to uphold those people who have never trusted Him. We need to uphold them in prayer and ask God to save their souls, to convict their heart, that they would come to a saving knowledge. As a result of the terrible pollution of sin, death is inevitable. It's because of the pollution of sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." James 1:15 says, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." There's only one way to escape the spiritual death that's spoken of here, and that is to receive Christ as Savior. A man's situation seemed to be absolutely hopeless. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, it says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. There was no hope. Man's situation was hopeless. But Christ came into the world and he gave hope. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13 it says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." And this word hope here, when we understand that in Christ there is hope, that means there is a knowledge. It's not like the hope, "Well, I sure hope so that I'm saved. I sure hope I'm going to heaven." It's not that type of a hope. It's an assurance. It's an assurance in the fact that we know that Jesus gave His life for us. He died, He was buried, and He resurrected on that third day. And because of that, we have the hope, the knowledge, the assurance that once we receive Him as Savior, we are on our way to heaven. Now, man left to himself can do nothing to make his heart clean. In Proverbs 19:3, it says, "The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord." Someone says, "Well, I'm as good as the next person, or I'm going to try to do better, and I sure hope I'm going to go to heaven." But the Bible says there's only one way, and that's through our Lord. And that verse once again in Proverbs 19:3 says, "The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord." Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." We stay away from God, we stay away from the Lord, because when we start looking at Him, we start seeing how sinful we are. Therefore, God speaks to our hearts through the Holy Spirit, and He says, "You need to get saved, and you need to turn your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ." But the Bible goes on in that verse in Proverbs 1:7 says, "Fools despise wisdom and instruction." I sure don't want to be classed as a fool, and according to that, I'm not a fool because I have trusted Jesus as my Savior. Well, we can go on and say many things about the rejection of the Savior today, how that men and women are rejecting the Savior. Notice what happens now. People reject the Savior, but they also rejected the Creator at this time that Christ walked on this earth. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, we learn some amazing facts about the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1:1, first part says, "In the beginning was the Word." John 1:1 also says, "The Word was God." And then in John 1:3, it says, "All things were made by Him." That's the Word. In John 1:9, it says that the Word was the true light. And then we read in John 1:14, and you can go back also and read John 3:17. It says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Now, the Jewish people failed to recognize Jesus as Creator, as God, and they did not receive Him. In John chapter 1, in verse 10 and 11, it says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not." He came to the Jewish people, and they refused to receive Jesus as Savior. He came to the people of this world, and they refused to receive Him as Savior. But to those who did receive Jesus, and for those who now receive Him, He gives a promise. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Well, the rejection of the Savior, the rejection of the Creator, the rejection of the King. In Matthew chapter 2, we read of a group of wise men who had journeyed many, many miles seeking the King of the Jews. And it talks about that in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And I'm sure you know the story of how the wise men came to see the King. Well, the wise men stopped in Jerusalem and asked where the King could be found. Well, the chief priests and scribes opened their scrolls, this would be the Old Testament, and quickly recited the correct answer from the Bible. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, it talks about when Herod saw these men and they asked him, "Where is this King?" He called those religious leaders of the day, and they immediately knew where the Scripture spoke of this. But it's sad that they did not act upon it positively. Micah 5:2, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." With the information supplied by the priests and the scribes, and with a star to guide them, the wise men traveled 5 or 6 short miles to the nearby town of Bethlehem. This is where they found and worshiped the young King. It's sad that the Jewish people and the Jewish leaders of that day did not rush to those short 5 or 6 miles to worship the King. I like the following quote. Listen carefully. "These Jews possessed the right answer, but the right answer did not possess them." The Jews possessed the right answer, but the right answer did not possess them. Do you possess the right answer today? Do you have that right answer possessing you? You can have a head knowledge of our Lord, but without Him into your heart, you will not see heaven. The Bible is plain. You must receive Him into your heart. Well, as we study and go forth, we understand He rode into Jerusalem, and they cried, "Hosanna, Hosanna," to the highest, and all of these things, praising Him. But they did not have Jesus as Savior. They did not recognize Him. And they also rejected Him as a prophet. They would not receive Jesus as prophet. Today you have those who say Jesus is a great teacher, but they do not accept what He taught. He taught that He was the Son of God. And you have those today who say, "Oh yes, He was a great teacher, He was a great prophet, but what He's saying is not true." Well, then how can they recognize Him as a great teacher and prophet? The Bible tells us that He was a prophet of God. He was God. We see also that people have rejected the Messiah. Matthew 12:8, Christ claimed to be the Lord of the Sabbath. It says, "Therefore the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day." He's Lord of all. He is able to save those who will seek Him to the uttermost. He is able to save you today if you will ask Him to come into your heart. Please do not reject the bread of life, as some have done. The bread of life, He was rejected. He was rejected for bread in John chapter 6. We see more than 5,000 were fed, and then they turned on Him. And then we understand that by receiving Christ as Savior, we can know Him more fully. Do you know Him today? Receive Him as your Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.